Connie, thanks for joining us. How long have you been at St. Mary's?
Since 2011.
Okay, and how long have you been in the UK?
Since 96.
Okay, can anyone guess from the accent who doesn't already know Connie where she comes from? Go on, let us know.
South Africa.
Okay, so you grew up in South Africa. Today we're thinking about the question, why are there so many religions? I guess many of us here will have had a fairly kind of narrow experience with these things. Perhaps, you know, many of us will be Christians, other of us, you know, won't know a huge amount of the others. Now, that's different for you because you grew up, in fact, in a Hindu family, and it would be great just to hear kind of what that was like.
It was a really lovely life. My dad was a headmaster. He was very strict, and mum was a teacher, so it was a very strict Hindu sort of upbringing. We weren't religious, as in, you know, we didn't go to the temple all the time. What we did have at home was a little lamp, which we called, and, you know, we would pray facing the lamp when we needed things, largely. But it would be lit in the evening, and someone would have to put it off before they went to bed, because if you left the light burn throughout the night, then it was disrespectful to God. And what was lovely about Hinduism, so I thought, was that it was such an inclusive religion. So, you know, my mum and dad were very adamant that it was, if it was any religion, Islam or Christianity or Buddhism, you just went to the same God. So I thought that was very inclusive. And growing up as a Hindu in South Africa was really interesting, because I grew up as an apartheid baby, and it was where racism was practiced. And the government in charge was Christian, but practiced apartheid in that country. And I just thought, well, if they were Christians, I wasn't looking at Jesus, I was looking at the way they behaved. I thought if that is what it meant to be a Christian, then I'm in the right family. Being a Hindu is absolutely comforting, because that was just the fact that we weren't being hypocrites, because apparently we weren't being bad, or so I thought.
So it was a very much kind of part of the family you grew up in. Did it have any kind of, well, I suppose, what did it mean for you kind of personally?
As a Hindu, I think for me, it just gave me an immense amount of freedom. Also, when my mum and dad were disciplining us, they always said, mum largely, she said, if you're going to be really bad, then God's going to be very angry with you. So because in Hinduism, you believe that the better you are, it's sort of karma. If you're good, then it's good karma comes back to you. That means you'll always have a better life. And then you believe in reincarnation. So the better you were, it was very, there was a very strong possibility that you weren't going to be born back into this life, which they see as suffering as well. And I don't know. I didn't know whether, I didn't want to come back as a cockroach. I knew that, or a rat. So I tried to be as good as I possibly could. And all my friends were Hindu, but we had a few Christian friends in the community. It was largely Hindu because, you know, Indians emigrate. Well, they were sent to South Africa in 1860, and it brought that religion to them. And that's all I knew, and I was so comfortable with that. I was so sure. I remember saying this really clearly when lots of people wanted to speak to me about Jesus. It used to really irritate me. My dad's sister was Christian because she had married into the Christian faith, and people used to say, oh, you know, it's only through Jesus that you get to God. And that just really annoyed me, because I thought that's just so exclusive that you have to become Christian. You could just be Hindu, and, you know, every religion takes you to God. I used to go to my uncle's house for Christmas, which was really nice because we got presents, but that's about the only thing that attracted me to the Christian faith then.
So being a Hindu was pretty central to your identity, both your family and for you personally. And you've already alluded that actually your perceptions of the Christian faith were not exactly positive. Do you want to talk a bit more about that?
Do you know, honestly, if you wanted to witness a miracle, this is a miracle, standing in church right here today, because I absolutely hated Christianity, whatever it represented within that country at that time. I just had absolutely no time for it. But it was just a really strange feeling, because even though I hated the faith, there were people around me that were Christians throughout my life, and I think that was Jesus' plan when I was younger and as I was growing up. I just didn't want anything to do with the faith, and I remember saying, I was born a Hindu, and I will die a Hindu. And I didn't know that God knew me before he even created the earth, and he was thinking, yeah, right. I definitely have a plan for you. And when I was 16 years old, my friend who was a Seventh-day Adventist, Michelle, said to me, I was being a good Hindu, she said, you're so lovely, you should be a Christian. And I said, Michelle, we're in South Africa, where there's apartheid all around us, where Christians are behaving badly. I don't want to be a Christian. And she gave me a Bible, and in it, she'd written this lovely message, and at the end, she said, it said, Jesus loves you, and that always stayed with me. And people reminded me throughout my life that it was only through Christ. The cross really got to me. It was offensive to me. I just disliked it intensely, and I just didn't want to hear that. All the time, people said, you know, whatever your faith is, Connie, just remember, it's only through Jesus. And that really irritated me, but that's a good thing. So if you're telling people that, and if it's annoying them, don't stop telling them that.
I mean, it's interesting that you kind of pick up on this phrase, it's only through Jesus, because actually something we hear quite a lot in our kind of more kind of secular culture is that basically all religions are kind of the same, and they're all basically saying, you know, be good people, and there's some kind of higher power, and that's kind of the substance of most of them. They're all kind of the same thing. I suppose your perspective is an interesting one, because actually you've had quite an in-depth perspective of both Christianity and Hinduism. What would you say to that kind of idea?
Just one main thing, that Jesus is completely absent as a relationship when it comes to Hinduism. Hinduism accepts that, you know, my mom actually says she's still Hindu today, and my family are. They're like, we accept Jesus is the Son of God. I said the same thing, but I didn't understand what that meant. I didn't understand that he actually died on the cross for me, you know, just exclusively for me. And Hinduism is absent of that. And saying that, you know, it's easy to become a Hindu, I think. I think it's easy to become a Muslim. I think it's easy to become a Buddhist or whatever the religion is. It's not actually easy to become a Christian, because Christ, or God, calls you into that faith. Because remember, I didn't want to be Christian, but I was always curious about, you know, spiritualism or finding out about, okay, so if Jesus is, you know, is the only way to God, that used to make me think, okay, I need to start investigating Christianity perhaps. And God just picks you at the right time. But there's a verse in Jeremiah 29 that says, if you seek God with all your heart and all your mind, you will find him. So if you're sitting here today without Jesus, and if you really want to know, oh my goodness, he will call you to him without a shadow of a doubt, because I'm here, and I know how much I hated the faith.
Now, this has obviously happened to you. Strong Hindu background. You're now obviously a kind of committed Christian believer. How did you go from one to the other?
I remember when I was baptized, in the first 3 months of my baptism, I felt like I was glowing. It was just amazing. It was as if God was giving you this energy. The Holy Spirit was saying to you, this is what it's like. I was, after having Isabella, who's now 7, I'd lost part of my mind. I thought I'd had a lobotomy because I couldn't remember lots of things. But I remembered so many things. I was more efficient at work. It is a very competitive environment. I am a journalist, so it was really... I thought I was like the best. I wasn't showing off, although I was very close to doing that, because I had this energy in me that the Holy Spirit had put in me. And I'm not even imagining it. It was there. It was like God was saying, this is what it's like when you come into my kingdom. And I loved it. But after 3 months, it actually goes away again. I think God makes you possibly not work for that, but then the Holy Spirit builds you up to be at that level, and daily prayer brings you there. But it's different from Hinduism, because I didn't have a relationship with God. I went to God in front of a lamp, and I asked for things, and that was all I remember doing. Now I can speak. He's a friend. Jesus is actually my friend. If I need him, and I sometimes forget about him, I'm not perfect. When I'm really happy and when I'm in a really happy place, I kind of forget that actually Jesus, it's Jesus' plan and not me doing it. And when something bad happens, I'm quickly scurrying to him and helping him. But I can go to him at any time like a personal friend, not like a detached being in front of an awesome God. But Jesus actually takes me to him in a much more closer way that didn't happen in Hinduism.
And was there a particular moment at which it all just kind of made sense for you and kind of clicked into place as to who Jesus was and the difference he makes?
Took me 20 years to get there. And so I was searching, and it was in my 10th year, I think it was in 1996 when I had moved to this country, feeling very lonely, sort of it was devoid of spiritualism, I thought. People were not as friendly as they are in South Africa. It was a different culture, and I very readily opened the door to Jehovah's Witnesses. I loved them. They became my best friends. Because they were so warm, and they were trying to sell me their faith at that time, and I was very close to buying it in 2011. And I think God has a great sense of humor, because even though I was, I was very critical of apartheid South Africa and the way in which the Europeans behaved then, my really good friend, one of my closest friends, is Afrikaner South African, Marianne, and she used to talk to me about the Christian faith for over 10 years. She used to sit in my kitchen. And she used to take all my nonsense when I used to say to her, Marianne, it's not only through Jesus. I can tell you that it's not. It's just a ridiculous, conservative, narrow point of view. And please stop talking to me about that. And she was very calm and very patient. And she knew at the time, I think this worried her, the Jehovah's Witnesses had wanted to start a Bible study with me. And I had agreed. I was sort of giving in because I thought I was just getting closer to wanting to have some sort of faith, but it was God's plan. And Marianne had come over to St. Mary's, and I think she told Will that I was very interested in becoming a Jehovah's Witness. I don't know what the exact conversation was. And Will had come by when I was, I think, two lessons into my Bible study with Jehovah's Witnesses. And he'd come by on his bicycle. And I remember that because that's how he'd, very committed vicar on his bike with a leaflet in the hand saying, there's a Christianity Explored course. Would you like to come to that? And that just sort of very humble attitude made me think, wow, if a vicar's come to my house on a bicycle, I'm going to go to the Christianity Explored course. And I did. And it was halfway through that course, and it was through prayer. And I know there were certain members in the congregation or lots of people in the congregation that were praying for me, largely South African, European South Africans. And it was halfway through that course where the penny dropped that Jesus had died for me. And that was it. It still gets to me. Can't believe it.
And so that was, in a sense, the big difference. The man Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. who personally set his affection on you and died on the cross for you, and that was just something you'd never really come across before.
Mind blowing. The fact that someone would die for your sins and die exclusively for your life, that doesn't happen in any other religion. Mm.
Now, your family are still Hindus. How have they kind of reacted to your becoming a Christian?
It's really interesting because I'm sort of safe because I live here. If I lived in South Africa, I think it would have been harder. So again, God has a map and he knows exactly what he's doing, and I trust him completely. I think for me, if I was a Hindu in South Africa, it would have been really hard because 90% of the people I know are largely Hindu. And I would have faced even more pressure, even though some of my closest cousins are Christian. My brothers are, both my brothers follow a faith called the Sai faith. I don't know whether you know of it. It was this amazing Swami in South India. Apparently, he declared that he was God. And the BBC did a documentary saying that God walks the earth and found out that he was a fraud. And me, as a BBC journalist, wanted desperately to tell them at the time that you're following a fraud. And I couldn't because I had to be respectful of that. It's difficult to talk to my older brothers because they're older, and in the Indian community, you don't want to be disrespectful. They still see me as the youngest in the family, so I don't know as much of them much as they do, apparently, and I respect that. My sister's more open. She speaks to me about the Bible more frequently. My mum is really interesting. She's been coming to England now for the past 18 years. She's done this Christianity Explored course. She's still not convinced. She still gets upset with my Christian faith when I'm singing Christian songs at home or when I'm talking about Jesus Christ. She's like, the new Christians are the worst. Even my sister said to me, you guys are so bad. Because even though my sister's more open, she said, why is it that new Christians have this very annoying habit of wanting to talk to people who are non-Christians about your faith? And then I try to explain to her that we're so excited. It's only good news, and, we can't wait for them to come to us. I'm quite adamant to speak to my younger nephews and nieces about the faith, though, because I think it's that important. They are curious. My nephew passed away last year in a terrible, self-induced accident, and it was just before he died, actually. I had given him my testimony to read. I think I gave him the testimony to read the year before. And a week before he died, he said to me, I read your testimony, and I just found that really interesting, and I've been thinking about it. He wasn't Christian when he died. He was Hindu. They had a massive Hindu funeral for him. I just hope, though, that he'd accepted Christ secretly in his heart.
Mm-hmm. Carnie, I'm sure there's much, much more we could talk about, but I think probably our time is up. Why don't I say a quick prayer, and then we can go back to our seats. Loving Father, thank you that you set your affection on us as individuals, and thank you that through Jesus you long to bring each of us into a personal and close relationship with you. Thank you for Carnie's wonderful testimony of how you have done that for her, and how you brought her from a very different place to this understanding. And we commit her to you, and particularly with her family. Lord, help her to continue to be a really godly witness in that environment and with her family. Amen.
Amen.